Hi Ken, hope you're doing well. It's good to speak to you again, and it seems quite a while since we've spoke last time.
Hi John, hi Anton.
Well, as usual, I've got half a dozen questions for you, and the first question to you is, last time we spoke, you were about to cross into Georgia from Turkey. Now, I wonder how many countries you've passed through since then, and what your impressions have been of the various inhabitants, the landscapes, and the cultures of these countries.
Four countries: Georgia, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan. I'm actually now back in Kazakhstan. As I've progressed east, the terrain has certainly become much more arid and inhospitable, much tougher going. But that's really been sort of compensated by the fact that the people that I've encountered have become increasingly ever more friendly towards complete strangers, really, like myself. And there's been really a generally less European feel about the place, and much more Asian, which I suppose, heading into Central Asia, I shouldn't be surprised about at all.
Now, looking at your blog, which I follow quite avidly every week, corruption is something that's featured much more this year than on the blog last year. I wonder if you can describe to us something about these or the corruption that you've witnessed on your travels, and also how you've been able to get around this, and I wonder how it affects your planning.
Corruption was certainly very evident in Azerbaijan, pretty endemic. And in practical terms, that means that you sometimes pay an unexpected fee to help get things done, maybe a donation to the coffee fund, whatever you wish to call it. You just have to accept that that's how it is, a different society to your own. Otherwise, you'll find yourself going absolutely nowhere very quickly, or sometimes, rather bizarrely, actually paying more for things, would you believe?
Ken, I know that June the 15th is an important date for you because that's when your Chinese visa begins for an initial 2 month period. But I'm also aware that in Kazakhstan at the moment you are a long way from the Chinese border. And I just wonder how you're going to get across a sort of vast area, which I believe is about half the size of Western Europe, in time to make the June the 15th deadline on the Chinese border.
Unfortunately, the constraints of my Chinese visa and the difficulties getting a new one mean I've had to travel some of the way across Kazakhstan by train. A fascinating experience in itself. Frustrating, of course, because I've ample time on my Kazakhstan visa to cycle the whole way, but I've just had to accept practicality over purity if I was to cycle the whole way across China.
Now, earlier this year, we had a lot of reports in the British press about political unrest in Kazakhstan and what was happening in the capital of Bishkek and so on. I wonder how safe it feels to you travelling in the country now. And I know one of your plans had been to meet up with the British consul in the capital of Bishkek. And I wonder how that went for you.
I felt remarkably safe travelling into Bishkek. It might lack the sophistication, the expense of some capital cities, but I really loved it. Very relaxing indeed. There's scant evidence now of the recent troubles that admittedly have left over 80 people dead. There's a few burnt out buildings, boarded up shops, and you'll see one or two bullet holes. In fact, what is striking is just how normal life seems there. You'd be hard pressed to realise what has happened just a couple of months ago with the protests and the ousting of the former president. Very relaxed there now, more so than perhaps any other city that I've been to. Sadly, I didn't manage to find the honorary consul at Fat Boys Cafe, but I did give the menu there a good bash.
As the year changes, at the beginning of the year, there were some incredibly cold periods for you, like deep snow in Bulgaria and so on. But I guess the temperatures are beginning to climb quite high now. And I'm wondering how this is affecting your daily cycling. I mean, how does it affect your ability to get fluids regularly? And is your equipment holding well together in the extreme hot weather?
It's now frequently into the 30s, and in practice this means I cycle till about 11 o'clock. If it's really hot, I'll stop for maybe 4 or 5 hours, take shelter in the shade or in a roadside cafe, maybe sleep, and then continue on until about 9 o'clock at night. When it's very hot, I can be consuming on the bike something like almost a litre an hour of fluids. I'm able to pick that up on the road at little sort of roadside cafes. I can carry quite a bit of water strapped to the back of the bike. And you often find passing motorists give you bottles of soft drinks and water and all sorts. So in practice, that's getting hold of enough fluids to drink hasn't been too much of a problem.
You mentioned in a recent blog the effect that these prolonged solo trips can have on long-distance cyclists, and I wonder how you're able to keep yourself feeling so positive, particularly in the face of these various frustrations and difficulties that you've encountered along the way. Your blogs and the diary talks, they always seem incredibly positive, and it's interesting to know how you manage to keep that up day after day.
One of the toughest things by far that I've had to learn to deal with has been the loneliness. You can be in the most beautiful of places, surrounded by the most friendly of people, but feel very much on your own. The key for me is news from home, emails, telephone calls, whatever. I find that really helps sort of lift my spirits when I find the going getting hard.
And finally, Ken, we've really enjoyed a lot more of the piece to camera videos this year. But in this respect, I've got to say we're ever so slightly disappointed that after nearly 10 months on the road, we'd really anticipated 3 foot of facial hair and dreadlocks coming out of the scalp in your hair. You look incredibly well-groomed, neat and tidy. I just wonder how you're able to do this, carrying a very limited amount of baggage with you on the bike.
I'm very reliant on non-verbal communication to help get things done, so cutting a good first impression is really important. And so, yeah, I do try my best to keep myself looking presentable, certainly most of the time.
Okay, well, thanks for that, Ken. That's enlightening, and I hope you're able to keep that up for the next 3.5 years or so. Well, I think our time is just about up for this week, and it's been great talking to you as ever. Look forward to speaking to you in another 4 or 5 weeks or so. I think Anton's got a pile more CDs to play, so Anton and I are going to say goodbye to you, Ken. But before that, we'll do a final plug for your website, which is www.acrosscontinents.org. And there's always a good pile of new bits of video, and the blogs are always entertaining, which I enjoy reading. And we'll speak to you again soon, Ken. Many thanks. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, John, and talk to you again soon.